is Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy, the arts of attracting, acquiring, and retaining talent. Here's Kathleen.
Welcome back to my conversation with Jonathan Singel, the global head of talent acquisition at Spotify. John, in part one, you mentioned something about aiming to have a TA team of 200 bandmates, and it sounds like you have a few positions available over there. So when you meet someone interested in a career in recruiting, what are some of the skills that you look for?
Great question. So for me, it's interesting. I'll meet with individuals, and anybody that may be listening to this that's interviewed with me will laugh, because more often than not, they'll walk away from the meeting wondering if they were even interviewed at all. So I'll admit my ways tend to be sometimes a little more unconventional, because I think you get so much out of conversation, right? Creating a more conversational interview. And that's not to say that you don't have set questions going into it, but it's a matter of how are you presenting those questions to get what you want out of it. And I think one of the skills that is really important in our business is stakeholder management and the ability to build trust, build credibility, and building relationships. And for me, when I'm meeting with somebody, I want to see how I'm feeling about that conversation as we're having it. Do I feel like I'm being listened to? Do I feel like, you know, this person is adding value in terms of what, you know, how are they credible in the area that they're working in? And are they consultative? Because there's a way to sometimes disagree, right? And I think sometimes people fear disagreeing because they think that it's negative. It's not at all. I mean, you're in the room because your opinion matters, and I want your brilliance, but there's a way to obviously carry that conversation. So I guess to answer your question directly, I like to have a bit more of a conversation because I'm looking to see, you know, again, how I'm feeling throughout that conversation. Do I feel like I'm being listened to? Do I feel like there's a trust that's being built? And that there's a comfort level, and that person is demonstrating credibility in their space as a subject matter expert. So that's really number one for me, is looking for that. Because again, I think that stakeholder management, that's not just stakeholder management for the business that you're supporting, but it's the broader HR individuals that you're partnering with. It's the candidates that you're supporting and representing on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of it, I think, at its core just comes down to, you know, who is the individual as a human being, right? And then that's the foundation for, you know, everything else. So for me, that's one. And then I'm also looking for, are you aligned to the values of our company? Is there going to be a culture add? And are we going to be able to provide you with what fulfills you and what engages you? So I tend to really ask a lot of questions around what do you want to do, and really dig into what do you want in the future. You know, I want to make sure that when people come on board, not only are they capable to do the job, right, but also are we going to be the right match for those individuals, and are we going to be able to provide them with a journey that's engaging and fulfilling?
You're hired. Come on over. Come on over.
That's right.
No, you know what? I totally agree with you, because I'm a very intuitive decision maker. And usually when people are waffling over what they should be doing, I say, just take that decision from your head and move it to your stomach. Your stomach is much, much smarter than your head at times. So it's never failed me.
Very true. I agree 100%.
You know, you also mentioned about you know, making sure that you stay in front of narrow talent pools. And I was curious to know if, and I'm sure the answer is yes, but is Spotify tapping into talent pools like the formerly incarcerated, disabled workers, veterans, immigrants? And if so, how?
Yes, great question. So we do tap into those talent pools, you know, some more than others, admittedly. There's always more to do. There's always, opportunity to be even better. But, you know, our approach comes down to building the right partnerships. And I mentioned our equity and impact team before, and I'll give them a shout out again. We have a really strong partnership with our equity an impact team. And in fact, our inclusive hiring and development manager is an extension of my TA leadership team, because again, we're connected by the hip and we really look for meaningful partnerships. And I know that probably sounds very simple, but what I mean by that is I think there's a lot of opportunities to partner out there. We can all Google a number of different, you know, associations and lists of partners, and there's hundreds of them in a lot of these spaces, if not more. But it comes down to picking ones where you can establish a meaningful relationship with a partner, because you have to go through a vetting process. I think it's, you know, it needs to be more than just, okay, you know, this partner does X, so that checks the box in terms of moving forward and wanting to get more involved. I think what you really need to dig into is, you know, what are we looking for, but also what are the individuals looking for that are a part of that organization or association, and making sure that as you look down the road, it's going to be a partnership that actually equates to something, right? Because where I tend to get frustrated is you can put a partnership in place and that's where it stops. For me, it needs to be the partnership's in place, but you're also connecting with people, establishing meaningful, you know, relationships, and actually connecting people to jobs. And you know, it's really interesting because when it comes to recruiting and aligning talent with companies and opportunities, it's never a one size fits all, but I think sometimes people tend to think that it is. And I think, you know, it comes down to, okay, well, here's who our company is, here's what we value, here's what we can provide. Are there people connected to this particular partner that can provide that, and can we provide them, you know, with what they want? Because just to have the partnership and it not to go anywhere, it's actually really harmful, I think. And I don't think people realize how harmful it can be to set some of these things up and to not come out of it making meaningful connections.
And there's actually a new, I shouldn't say, or maybe we're getting, becoming much more aware of another talent pool, and that's the working mom.
Yes.
And it has been interesting, you know, to see, and again, my business was started on by working moms. You know, I had a young family when I started my business. Everyone that I hired was a mom with young children, and I taught them how to be recruiters. And so that was the foundation of our business. So again, people are just understanding this, but I'm curious if there's any adjustments that Spotify has need to make to retain the working mom, and especially helping them with their re-entry after they have a child.
It's a great question. And I think it's less about adjustments that we've made. You know, I think we're always evolving, again, always getting better. But I think, interestingly enough, and I promise it's not me saying this just because I'm obviously very biased when it comes to Spotify. I can also look at it from a constructive view. I think one of the, you know, when I think about our value proposition, and one of the things I talk to candidates about on a regular basis, which, you know, plays into, I think, you know, the talent pool that we're talking about, is just how anybody enters the organization, right? And when it comes to your point, working moms, are you cognizant of some of the things that really matter, right? In terms of getting those individuals readjusted and connected, getting indoctrinated into the company, and how are you doing that? And I also think, you know, a level of flexibility, adaptability, self-awareness of what people have going on all matters. I think, you know, work-life balance matters. All those things matter. And the beauty of it, Kathleen, is that's just who Spotify is. So it's really interesting because when I think about it, I think we are a perfect environment for working moms, but not even just working moms, right? Because this is just the environment that we've built and it's who we are. But I think when you think about, is when we think about, again, onboarding, all those things I said, some companies might differentiate where for us, that's just how we've built it, right? That's how we've built our onboarding. Those are the things that we're thinking about for anybody coming in. But I think it plays into what we're talking about really well and has naturally just become a very good place for folks to return to work. So hopefully I answered the question. I realized it was probably more philosophical than anything else. But yeah, no, I think it's really a natural place for moms to come back to work.
Well, that's great. So hopefully there's a few listening that may reach out to you as well. So let's talk about the technology piece of your planning process. And I was originally going to ask, what technology are you using to better scout talent? Are you using AI and some of those tools now?
No, admittedly, we have not gotten too involved with AI yet. That's not to say that we won't, but I want to make sure that, you know, if the day comes, when the day comes that we do, that it's the right tool, that it makes sense for us, and that it's not counterproductive. And you know, I talk about earlier in the conversation the importance of, you know, removing bias and making sure that we have a fair and equitable process. And I think in many ways that's, you know, why a lot of companies have built AI into their processes. But I think what we're also seeing on the flip side of that is AI actually creating some scenarios where it's only actually adding some bias to the process if the AI wasn't built in the right way. So I'll admit I'm probably one of the few TA leaders that has been a bit more cautious, and it's cautious. It's not necessarily skeptical. I think that there's a place for AI in what we do, especially if you think about, you know, how do you really scale your efforts in a meaningful way, make sure that you're connecting with all of the people you want to be connecting with, because there's only so much a human being can do. But I've been very cautious, and you could say almost taking a step back and letting some of the AI that's out there play out and kind of learning from some of my peers that have tried it before we dip our toe in the water. And it's an interesting space too, because I think a lot of companies talk about AI and say they're doing AI, but it isn't even really AI, right? So I think it's a matter of like, okay, what is it? Are you really doing it? And is it productive? And is it, you know, adding to your fair and equitable process versus taking away from it? So there'll be a place for it. One of the things we are working on though, and it's not complete yet, but we are adding a chatbot to our career site, which we're really excited about. So what we hope to gain from that is not just an opportunity to, you know, answer questions immediately, right, that we know are on candidates' minds, and not necessarily waiting for someone to get back to them, but also gaining insights from our candidate pool in terms of what questions are they asking, what is important to them, so we can then take that and be better informed as we're kind of building out, you know, our value proposition and evolving that, because knowing what was important to people yesterday isn't necessarily what's going to be important to them today. So we tend to really try to focus on a lot of data to inform us. But again, the chatbot has an AI component to it, but I realize it's not necessarily what a lot of companies have started to do. So we'll get there eventually, but not quite yet.
Yeah, well, I think that there is, you know, to your point, there's great value in that technology. Of course, we're all about the human touch, the human outreach. So, but I do know that there are an enormous number of companies with high volume jobs that the AI is a great tool for. I also want to talk about the candidate experience, and you talked about separating yourself from the pack out there. What are some of the things that you're doing from an employment branding perspective, from the, you know, the onboarding perspective, that lends itself to a very, very positive candidate experience?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, the information that we're putting out there on a regular basis, that again is really being driven by some amazing internal brand experts and partners, as well as our Green Impact team, et cetera, and is really important because, again, everyone out there is a potential candidate, right? And we want to make sure that as folks are looking at content about Spotify, that content provide a further visibility into what it means to work here. So if you look at a lot of our content, I think it checks a few boxes, and you know, that's really purposeful and intentional, again, to make sure that we're not just informing folks about what we're doing, but knowing how much we are hiring, we're looking at all those things from a recruitment perspective as well. Communication is really, really important. I think a lot of teams underestimate the importance of communication. You mentioned human contact, Kathleen. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think how you communicate with people, what you're saying, how you're saying matters. So really coaching our team and putting levers in place to make sure that we have the right quality controls, that we have the right templates, that everybody is kind of singing from that same songbook in terms of what does it mean to communicate with a candidate when you're working within Spotify TA, or if you're a hiring manager, et cetera. You know, I think that it should feel personal. It should feel like you're connecting to someone and you're connecting to something. I think when we think about recruiting and people say, you know, what's the secret sauce? It's creating that emotional connection. You know, that emotional connection you have with a company that starts during that recruiting process, or maybe even before it, right? If you're really interested in that brand and you're targeting that company, that continues and it has a journey. And I think that journey needs to be connected and it needs to be really seamless. So I like the fact that you talked about not just the recruitment process, but onboarding and beyond. You know, we've done a lot of great work. Our greenhouse team, which is our learning and development team, they've built out some really fantastic onboarding programs to make sure, again, that as folks start to come into the company, they're coming in a very smooth way that's indoctrinating them on, you know, how we do things here, but also connecting them to where we've been, where we are now, where we're headed, and how they connect to that, and creating those emotions, really providing opportunities to provide the opportunity to create that emotional connection with your peers then, right? Because you have all these different kind of touch points. And one of the things that we do that still amazes me, and I love the fact that we do it, we have something called Intro Days. And we naturally had to pause during the pandemic and doing these in person. But, you know, I expect that they'll be coming back soon. So what Intro Days at Spotify are is, you know, every employee has the opportunity to go to Stockholm. And we do it X number of times a year, so many people in each grouping, and some of these groups are hundreds of people just based on the amount that we hire, and you have the opportunity to go to Stockholm and visit our site there, experience the local culture, and hear from all of our leaders, and then meet fellow bandmates and make those connections with people around the world that then you always have that connection with. You started at the same time. And I guess if I were to summarize it, it comes down to personal, it comes down to being meaningful, right? And making sure that you're connecting people to what they're gonna do, the impact they're gonna have on the company. You know, we tend to, when you think about who we're competing with out there, it's not just the typical companies, it's a lot of startups, some that, you know, a lot of folks haven't even heard about. And, you know, people in our space really connect with some of those startups because that emotional connection for them is so important. And sometimes it's easier to find that with a smaller company. What I think we've bottled up, thanks to Daniel, our co-founder, and our amazing leadership team, is how do you maintain that entrepreneurial spirit? How do you maintain that personal feeling, that connection to the company, regardless of how big you get? And we're 8,000 plus people, and it still feels like there's just 20 to 30 people in a room. So that experience is the experience we're looking to create for everybody throughout their journey here, from before they onboard through onboarding, and for, you know, years to come.
So I can't let you go, John, without asking. You remind us not to forget about having fun. And so what are some of the things that you are doing to create those water cooler moments for your virtual workforce?
Great question. So a few things come to mind. It's, you know, thankfully, we are starting to come back into the office for the folks that want to be in an office. But what I will speak to briefly, because I really have had an exceptional experience, which is probably a strange way to describe it, throughout the last couple of years at Spotify, in terms of, again, we talk about how do you bottle all that fun up, right, that you would typically have in an office and do it virtually. And I really credit, again, our leadership for leading the way. And some of the things that we've done virtually that I think will continue, but then I'll talk about, in the office as well. I have a four-year-old, and she is literally everything. And naturally, you know, when we were all working from home, you know, our children become a part of our workday. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. You know, we talk about working parents, and throughout the day, we would have coordinated events where you could join, and there would be a sing-along with somebody that we would bring on to do a virtual sing-along. There were, you know, magic shows, and then other things that you could do with, you know, a partner, you know, like yoga, bring your partner along and you know, take a break at 1:30 and do yoga. You know, we created all of these really cool experiences. We would do, you know, DJs maybe on a Friday to close the week out, you know, concerts with some really cool artists. So, you know, I guess there's a common theme here, right? And these are all things that, again, translate in office as well, but we really never skipped a beat. And it's amazing that we were able to create this virtual experience for everybody that, to your point, Kathleen, enabled us to still have fun throughout the day, regardless of whether we were in the office or not. And if anything, I guess that further demonstrates that, you know, we do a lot of really great work. We have people that work really hard, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. And we know that it's important to have fun throughout. Now that we're coming back in the office, it's great. You know, there's a number of things that our Community X team, this is a team that focuses on, you know, the experience of our employees and making sure that we're building a sense of community within Spotify, that they have planned to bring employees together. And, you know, at a place like Spotify where, you know, music is the backdrop for so much of what we do, as you can imagine, a lot of those events tend to be really cool and a lot of fun. So I can't say enough about it. It's an amazing balance throughout the day, and it doesn't even feel like work. It's all fun from my view.
Well, I guess that's as Marcus Buckingham has come out with his new book, it's all about loving your work, right?
Yes.
Well, I've so enjoyed our conversation, John. I know that Spotify is in hyper growth, and for any of our listeners who might be interested in opportunities at Spotify, where's the best place for them to go?
So it is lifeatspotify.com. So check out lifeatspotify.com, and you will not only have an opportunity to review our job opportunities, but there's a lot of great information out there as it relates to our mission, our core values, what it means to go through the recruiting process, what it means to work at Spotify. So check out Life at Spotify.
Great. Well, John, I've so enjoyed our conversation today, and I want to thank you for being our guest, and look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you, Kathleen. I really enjoyed it as well. Stay safe, and looking forward to connecting again in the future.
Absolutely. His name is Jonathan Singal, the Global Head of Talent Acquisition at Spotify. And that's it for this episode of Revolutionizing Recruitment. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you take a second to subscribe so you automatically get my new shows when they drop. Also, if you have a minute, I'd love if you left us a review so more folks like yourself can discover the show. Until next time, take care.
This has been Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy. To connect with Kathleen or to learn more about recruitment research, go to duffygroup.com.